You're now tuned into The Essentials on homegrownradio.net via Play Nice in Long Beach. This is Groovy Liz.
It's your girl Callie Alley.
Callie Alley. And we have a special guest in the house tonight. If you want to introduce yourself real quick.
All right, J.O. Cortez. Cerritos, California.
Hey, still the west side though. Yeah. For sure. So J.O., I was actually the homie that, you know, is probably around here somewhere, put me onto your music. Uh-huh. And I want to say that was a little after 22-6 dropped.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I was very intrigued. So I'm really, really glad that you're here.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, of course. So we're going to, you know, dive into a little bit of who J.O. is. And, you know, for our listeners that don't know, what can you maybe just say about, you know, who you are and what you represent?
So, again, I'm J.O. Cortez. And, you know, I just love making music. Like, I come from a not really a family of music, but I just always had a love for it. Like, since I was younger, I started writing.
Right.
Like, when I was, like, 5 years old. And then, like, even in elementary school, like, I was in a band and stuff. So, like, mm-hmm. I just always had a love for music. And I recorded my first song at 17. And then just been going at it, you know, ever since. So, I just really love, like, making music. It's deeper mm-hmm. than... like, some people just do it for the fame or, like, just do it for money. But I just do it for the, you know, just the passion. You know, I just love music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's dope. Yeah. And you mentioned that you were in a band when you were younger. Mm-hmm. I think you played the drums,
I played the bass drum.
The bass drum.
Yeah, so, okay. Like, the conductor called me the anchor of the band. So, like, I had to have, like, the best sense of rhythm and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I played the bass drum and, like, I still remember, like, this one song we played. Like, if I had a bass drum, I could play it right now. But yeah, like, I played the bass drum. I tried the saxophone, but the drums was more, like, my strong area.
Yeah, yeah. What did you like about playing the drums the most?
Probably just the beat, like, just...
the rhythm.
Yeah, the rhythm of it. Right. Yeah, like, the saxophone was cool, but, like, with that, it was kind of... it was a little bit harder with the... bass drum, it was just easy. Like, it was just like, all I gotta do is just play this simple little rhythm, mm-hmm. and then I just picked it up easy. So it was just something that I like to do.
Nice. Yeah. I'm gonna read something real quick, and let's see if you can finish it.
Okay.
All right. All right. Okay.
What kind of game?
This is a game. This is the J.O. game.
Okay. Ooh, I like it. Let's go for it.
All right. Train up a child in the way he should go.
And when he is old, he shall not depart from it.
Yes.
Proverbs. Yeah. Nice.
Yes. Yeah,
Proverbs 22:6.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was the reason that I chose that verse is because that was like the first verse I remember reciting in front of my church.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just like a verse that always stuck out to me because I grew up in the church. Like, my family grew up in the church and they always told me to keep God first. So that's how I just try to live my life, keep God first, and then, you know, everything else afterwards. So that's why that one always just resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the track, the self-titled mm-hmm. track. I love the vulnerability you put in it, the storytelling about your mother mm-hmm. having to raise your little brother.
Right.
What mind state did you have to be in order to record that track?
I actually wrote it, like, months apart. Like, I wrote, like, the first verse, like, in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just something, like, I just had to sit with because I wanted it to be perfect because I knew it was going to be, like, the title track. And it was, like, my first time ever, like, you know, really talking about real, like, serious life experiences mm-hmm. like that. So it was something that I had to really sit with and, like, I was shedding tears, like, when I finished writing it because it was just, like, just thinking and reflecting on, like, all those times. Like, I even mentioned, like, with my best friend when his pops passed away. Like,
mm-hmm.
and I just remember, like, crying with him, like, at the funeral and stuff. So, like, that was, like, a real touchy, you know, subject for me. So, it was, like, it was something, like, that really took, like, you know, time to write. I didn't want to like rush it. I wanted it to be perfect. So like I lived with it and I, you know, I grew with it. And then when it was finally time to record it, like, I did it like in one take and it just came out perfect. Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy because I'm listening to the album and, you know, you have a few tracks that I'm just like, you know, bopping over here at work and stuff. And Summertime was like probably like one of my faves. And then with Proverbs 22 and 6, like I kind of had to play it back. I'm like, wait, hold up. This is some real shit real quick.
Yeah.
And not saying that the other stuff's not real, but it's just a different story.
Yeah.
And I kind of like didn't want to miss not even one little detail. So I had to listen it back. And yeah, I do hear like the different stories in the song. But yeah, it's definitely my favorite track off the album. Yeah,
mine too.
It's really good.
Yeah, that hits home, definitely.
I was about to start crying when he mentioned about his best friend's pops dying. I mean, I could relate to that. I'm like, oh man, I'm not trying to cry right now.
Yeah.
But that's, I think it's a music that people need to hear. For
right,
sure.
Right. That's like the type of music like people can really like connect with and like identify with. So like I performed it one time and like I did like all these other songs and then everybody just kept talking about that one. It was like I felt that like so like it just I guess it just touches people a different way. Yeah,
I do like Big Dog Talk though.
Oh,
yeah. Yo, that's my shit.
Like I do like that. So that's what I'm saying. Like I was just like bumping and then just it's definitely the balance I think of both.
That's what it is. It's definitely the album's definitely a balance, and it reflects who you are. So
right.
I think
that's
what's so dope about it too.
Thank you.
But I do want to go back a little bit to the two and Nothing to Lose and just kind of like the growth that you kind of see in yourself within like music, because I feel like 22-6 is definitely really polished. A more polished sound. So how do you feel like, you know, thinking about those two? Or maybe even other releases that you've had in the past.
It's definitely a growth thing. Like, I approached this album differently. Like, I kind of came in knowing, like, what I wanted to do already. With the other ones, for two, I think I did that all in one session.
Okay.
Like, I did the whole
project. Yeah, it's really raw. Like,
I just did it in one session. I was like, we're just going to put it out. Nothing to Lose, a little more thought out, but it wasn't, like, no real like this one it wasn't a concept album but it was like planned out.
Okay.
Nothing to Lose was just like we just took the best songs. This one, like, I recorded every song with a purpose for 22 and 6, so that's the difference. Like, I approached it differently because I wanted to actually tell my story with this one. So I think that's why this one is much better. And because as I get older, like, I just continue to grow as an artist, and like I feel like every year I get better and better. So I feel like right now, 22 and 6 is definitely my best work. But, you know, probably my next album, I'll probably feel the same way, because I feel like I get better with every release.
Right.
And that's what I really want to do. Like, every time I put out something, I want to, you know, progress. Mm-hmm. Never want to, you know, go back or take a step back. Like, I always want to progress.
Right. How are you able to track, like, your personal growth outside of music?
You said, like, my personal growth? I mature, like, a couple years ago, I wasn't as mature as I am now. Like, and I carry myself differently. Like, I try to, you know, really think and plan out things before I do it. Because everything when I was younger used to just be spur of the moment, like, right there, let's do it. But now I try to move with a purpose. I try to, you know, really, before I make a decision, like, all right, what is it, like, what is this going to result? Like, what's going to come out of this? Like, I don't just want to do something just to do it. Like, it has to have, like, a reason behind it, or something has to be coming out of it. Yeah. So that's kind of how I've grown as over the years, just becoming more mature, becoming more business savvy, like, becoming aware of certain things. Like, you know, I was younger, used to be naive, didn't really know much, but now, like, as I get older and I get more and more, like, I see more in the music business, like, I'm becoming more savvy and stuff like that, and more aware of how everything is. So,
is there a struggle between, like, finding the balance of balancing your personal life and then still being, like, a good role model for the people that are listening to your music?
Kind of. Not really. Not really, because I really don't really do anything. Like, I just, if
I'm
not,
I'm low key.
Yeah, I'm just low key. Like, if I'm not at work, I'm usually at home working on music or at the studio. Yeah. So it's like, I don't really go out much because I don't want to get into like any trouble or anything, like catch myself in a bad situation. So I just kind of stay out of the way. So that's one thing about me. Like,
what are some of the ways to like stay out of trouble?
Like, I don't be going out that much because, like, I mean, not saying there's anything wrong with going out, but like, usually, like, when you go out, that's when like stuff happens, like, or could potentially happen. Yeah. So like, I kind of just stay low key. I try to watch who I, you know, hang around with, like, keep who I like. I watch the people in my circle, like, I make sure that they on the same track as me, like, and not, you know, out here on like funny business or anything like that. You know, like, they all got the same goal and the same plan as me. So like, with that, it's like, it's very easy for me to stay straightforward and stay on track and not get distracted by all everything else that's going on out here. So I just kind of keep tunnel vision and just keep my head on straight and just focus on my goal.
Nice. Yeah. Right. I need to stay out of trouble.
Yeah. Oh,
I'll be getting into trouble.
Let's not start with you. Please. I feel like being intentional with your moves definitely helps you stay out of trouble and following your intuition a little bit more.
Oh, right. Most definitely. Yeah.
That works too. Yeah.
I try to calculate every move. So like, if I do a show, I'll go to the show, do what I do, and then leave. Because, like, usually when you hang out and linger around, like, that's when, like, you know, you could potentially run into something. Like let's say, like, somebody could start fighting or something like that. And it's just, like, I don't want to be in the way of any of that. So let me just do my thing on stage, you know, chop it up with some of the people that came.
Yeah.
10, 15 minutes, and I'm out of there.
You don't check out, like, the next artist that's performing after you?
I might check out the next one after me, but then, like, after that, then I'll leave. Because it's not that
it
don't.
It depends the setting, too.
Yeah, it just depends on, like, the setting. But, like, I just, like, that's just the way that I move. Like, I'm real low with it, and it's just, like, it works for me because it's like, I don't get into any trouble. Like, you'll never hear anything about me, like, anywhere. Like, oh, he was out here fighting, like, wilding all of this. It's like, nah, he did his thing and left.
I feel like he's an earth sign. I don't know why. When's your birthday, J.O.?
January 29th.
Aquarius. Yeah. No, he's not a Capricorn. Oh, she almost thought you were. Almost there. You are in a earth month. But anyway, that's besides the point.
January.
So you said a trope. Your birthday, like, we have 3 January babies over here. Hey. Dang, you have, like, a big old celebration. Any big plans for the birthday?
Yeah, I'm planning on releasing a project for my birthday this 2020.
What?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's coming soon.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's just it's an EP. It's not a full-length project, but it's an EP. And it's something I'm real excited about. It's a new sound.
What does that mean for you, a new sound?
New sound. I try to approach every project with, like, a different sound. Because one of my favorite rappers is Kendrick Lamar. And, like, with each one of his projects, like, they sound, like, totally different.
Yeah.
And, like, that's how I try to, you know, do my thing. I don't want to be, you know, too repetitive. And it's like, man, like, he on the same thing. Like, every release, talking about the same stuff. So it's like, I want to, you know, like, show my range, like, show, oh, he can tap into this, he can tap into that too. So with this one, it's like a different sound, but it's still me, but it's different.
Any specific genre that you had to experiment with for this project?
Nah, it's all like rap, but it's just, it's a different form of rap, like.
Like your flow or like?
Yeah, the flow, like, it's kind of all over the place. Like, I'm tapping in with, like, different sounds. Like, so, like, each song is, like, different from one another. Like, no song sounds the same on this EP. So
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be great. I feel like everybody's going to enjoy it.
Speaking of different. Oh,
sorry. No, before we just get off topic, top 3 K-Dot albums.
In order?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. My favorite one, the one that I listen to the most, is damn.
Yes. Really? Nobody ever says that. It's the most different one. Yeah.
Wow. It's different. Okay. And it's like he taps in like with everything. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's not too long. It's not like an hour, like 30 minutes. It's like a short listen. And it's just like every song on there is like great.
Right. Such an amazing
so it's Damn, and then To Pimp a Butterfly, and then Good Kid, M.A.A.D City.
Wow. Yo, I think mine's flipped around.
For real?
Yeah.
What's your top three?
Probably Good Kid. No, I'm going to go back.
Okay. Oh.
I'm going to say Good Kid.
Oh, I thought you were going to go way, way, way back.
Section 80. Yeah. And To Pimp a Butterfly. I love Damn, though.
Yeah.
Damn is my number
Damn
one.
Damn is my favorite. Yeah.
And just the collaborations he had on that album were different. It just was very psychedelic. And I think it took me to a whole, like, different time than where we are today. Baby Keem, yes. Yeah. Orange Soda?
I think that's his cousin or something.
No.
Yeah, I can definitely hear the influence for sure. A little bit, yeah. Some of it, I'd be like, is that Kendrick? Like, some of it.
Really?
Yeah.
I hear some Playboy, too.
Yeah, I hear more Rage than, like, K-Dot.
A little bit.
I need to hear it again. I need to hear it again.
When he goes off.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, Dave Free is actually managing Baby Keem.
Yeah, I heard he left Top Dog.
TV, yeah. It's crazy. There's a lot going on.
I never would have thought.
I know. But he also directs. Yeah. So that's really dope. And I did want to touch on different sounds because you have this track, All of Me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's way different, too. Yeah. You're tapping into something else.
That song, like, it just, like, originally, like, so I made the beat. And, like, I was playing with, like, different BPMs, and, like, I sped it up, and I was just, like, it sounded kind of cool. So, like, I just started, like, vibing with it, and then, like, that song just came out. I did it in the studio one night. I used to have, like, these crazy sessions. I do, like, 12-hour sessions and then get, like, 16 songs in. So, like, it was, like, one of the later songs that I did. Mm-hmm. And then, like, at first, like, it kind of went unnoticed. Like, nobody was really paying attention to it. Right. But, like, once it got mixed and everything and, like, put it out, everybody was like,
yeah,
that song different, bro. Like, it was like, I could really, like, hear that on the radio. But
I know.
Unfortunately,
I
like, it didn't get to the radio. But
hey, bring it back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Re-release it.
That's crazy.
What has been, like, one of the biggest changes that you had to do for the process of your artistry?
So with this album, I usually make all the beats, but for this next project, I have no production on it.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's different because, like, every project was just all me. Like,
you produce
except
all your
for
stuff.
Like maybe one or two songs, but I just wanted to tap in with something new. I was just like, you know, everybody knows like that's my sound, but like let me see like how it is when I hop on somebody else's beat. Like, let's see how it comes out, and like it just came out fire.
Wow.
So yeah.
Were you nervous at all about that?
Not really.
Don't lie.
Nah,
really?
Not like, nervous. Yeah. Nah. Like, I'm just comfortable. Like, once I get in the booth, like, it's comfortable. Like,
it's a go.
Yeah, no worries, nothing. It's just.
So, for these, or for this project, was this the, when you were working with Volume 1?
Yeah, I recorded some of the songs at Volume 1, yeah.
Because that's a, like, a studio, right?
Yeah, it's a studio.
Okay, okay. Then what is Giants?
Giants Records, that's my label.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's an acronym. It stands for God is Always Needed to Succeed. Yeah, so
that's dope.
Yeah, we're working right now. We're in the progress of things. We're like finally putting together like our team. Like we like originally it was about like five of us, but now like we're adding more people to the team cuz like my fan base is growing and stuff, so like we need different people to like focus on different things, so like it's really coming together. So like 2020 we're gonna be making like some
crazy
major moves.
Yeah,
so but I'm excited.
Dang, we jumped in at the right time.
Seriously. When you started the label, you were the first artist, I'm guessing. Yeah, obvious. Yeah.
So right now I'm the only artist, so like the main focus on me, but nice. Eventually we want to, you know, eventually be able to sign other artists and stuff like that.
What are some of the traits that you look in for, like, into the next artist?
Originality. Not somebody that's trying to sound like everybody else. Right. Somebody just comfortable being themselves, like, because that's how I look at myself. Like, it's, I'm not trying to be like nobody else, and just somebody that just works hard, like, that really just has a passion for the music.
So are you able to, like, read that in, like, their music, or would you have to, like, be able to, like, have a conversation with them?
I could tell by the music, like, they approach it differently. Like, it's usually it's a lot deeper than, you know, some of the stuff is just surface. It's just like, oh, let me just say these couple words and repeat them. Like, it's usually like more meaning behind it. So that's what I listen for. That's what I listen to. And that's what I'm looking for, like, in an artist. Like, somebody that's really passionate about the music. Like I always go back to this quote that I heard. I don't even know who said it, but it's like, if you would do this, like, without making any money, like, if you didn't make any money from making music and you would still be doing it, that's how I know, like, you really love the music. Like, you're not doing it for the money. Like, you're just doing it because you enjoy it. So
didn't Quincy say something about when the music or when the money, something about creating music and when the money comes in, or when it's, like, the main focus, then God leaves the room, or something, like, I don't know. I'm going to look it up, because
I'm looking it up right now.
Yes, please look it up.
Because you're not going to butcher my man, Quincy.
Blah, 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 blah. Just look up the Quincy quote. But
he said, what were the keywords you were saying?
Oh, man.
She said, oh, man.
Music, money, room.
That's what I put. Oh, here we go. We got it. Let's when see. You chase music for money, God walks out of the room.
There you go.
Quincy Jones. Yeah.
That's facts.
Wow. That's what it is.
That's deep.
That reminded me. Yeah.
Is that the... No, that's not the one.
Nah, it's not. No. It's similar. It's a long, similar line, so...
I have a visual question for you. And because when I saw the video Love Song, it was different from your other videos. So my question is, for instance, when you're recording a track... Is there, like, a visual equivalent that comes to your mind while you're in the studio?
Not while I'm in the studio, but so, like, after the project, we was like, all right, what songs are we going to do videos for? And it was Big Dog Talking, Love Song.
Mm-hmm.
So Love Song, like, when I played it, like, I just see colors.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, man, I want to do colors for that video, wow, like, make so it, like, cool. Real, like, vibrant, like, eye-popping. And so that's how that came about. So, and then I was just like, I kind of want to have girls to, like, represent, you know, each color, like, have them, you know, each color in there. And a lot of the videos, well, not a lot of them, but, like, your typical music videos, like, you know, girls, like, you know, bottles, stuff like that. I was like, man, I just want to do something, like, you know, more smooth, like, they don't gotta be, like, half naked and stuff like that, you know, to really show, like, their beauty. And then I was like, I wanted them to, you know, when I hit up the ladies in the video, I was just like, just do something you're comfortable doing, like, whatever, like, that's in your everyday life, like, that's what we want to show off. We want to show the beauty in that. So that's how the video came about. And then we connected with Gold. And he just helped us bring it to life. Yes. So, yeah.
He does all your videos. I saw that. And Fab Five.
Mm-hmm. And so the Ryan did.
Ryan did Black Kings. Yeah, Black Kings. Yeah. We actually shot a couple scenes here and played nice. Yeah. So.
Yo, you have great videos.
You do.
Thank you. I gotta salute my team. Shout out to Fab Five.
That's super dope. Yeah, I really like the Love Song. There's two things that will make me gravitate towards videos, and that's colors and flowers. Like, either or, maybe dogs. I do like dogs. But yeah, with Love Song, it was just very vibrant, and I like that you said every girl represented a color. So what color would represent you?
My favorite color is red.
But you're wearing blue. But you got a little red.
Wait a little bit.
Can't forget you.
Yeah. But now, I don't know. My like all the men in my family like red, and then all the women like blue. Is weird. Yeah. Like all of them like blue. Like my mom's favorite color. My grandma, my aunt.
It's blue. Like a neutral color.
Yeah. And then my dad, my grandpa, my uncle, our favorite colors is red. So.
I like red.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your favorite color, Liz?
Red.
Yeah, red is smooth.
It is.
I would tell people my favorite color is rainbow because that's just a cheap shot. And then someone's all like, well, my favorite color is tie-dye. I was like, damn, you kind of got me there.
But did you know that black is all the colors combined?
Yeah, it is true.
You mean because it's like overpowering? Everything. Like if you put it on top of a color, it just turns black?
Like if you mix all the colors together, you'll get black.
Aww. It's crazy. It's crazy.
That's crazy. What makes you feel nostalgic lately? Is there anything specific at the end of the year?
End of the decade too.
I know. Usually movies. Mm. Like when I watch movies, like especially movies that I already seen before, like it just kind of takes me back to like when I first saw it. And it's crazy. Like I find a lot of like inspiration for my music from movies. So like whenever I'm writing, like I always have like a movie on. And
really? Like
that's right.
Yeah, so like I don't know what it is. It's usually a superhero movie too. Like I guess it just make me feel like a superhero when I'm writing. But yeah.
What's
so,
your favorite?
Iron Man.
Iron Man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I took it pretty I don't wanna give it away if y'all didn't see Endgame.
I think we can talk about it.
But yeah, so I was pretty hurt. But yeah, that was my I seen Spider-Man, but I was, like, young. But, like, the first superhero movie I remember seeing and, like, being of age was Iron Man. And I was, like, 11. So, it's, like,
that's tight.
I pretty much was, like, with him, like, the all them years. Aww. So, yeah, like, Iron Man would probably be my favorite one.
Is that a goal to be, like, part of a superhero soundtrack? Like, have one of your tracks?
Yeah, I want to play a superhero. Like,
I want to be in the film, sir. Yeah. And I'll throw in a bonus track for you, director.
I just always be thinking, like, man, like, being a superhero is dope. Like, I really wish I could be, like, a superhero sometimes.
What would be your superpower?
I don't know because I want to say flying, but that's kind of weak because it's like.
Do you know people that fly? I don't know anybody that flies.
How are you going to fight?
Yeah, it's like if
does it have to be fighting? Yeah, right. It's
like
a superhero.
If I could fly, then it's just like. What else can you do? Like, you're just going to be flying away from everything.
Superman was strong, and he flew.
Yeah, I would probably pick, like, super strength. Yeah,
that'd be lit.
Yeah, probably super strength.
See?
Or a mind control or something, because it's like, I could just manipulate anything. Like, if I want to rob a bank.
Like Professor X?
Yeah, like that.
That'd be super dope.
The smart ones, they'd be, like, the dopest ones. Cause, like, you could be super strong, but an idiot. So it's like if you're smarter, like if you way smarter than the strong dude, like you'll figure out a way to win.
Or you could just be rich like Batman.
Yeah, and just build everything.
But see, Joker wasn't strong. He was actually a genius.
Yeah, he was smart.
Yeah, he was really smart. Yeah. But he was super
Batman
skinny.
Batman looking like a fool.
Damn. Yeah.
Shit. That's crazy. Or maybe a video concept for one of your songs down the road.
Yeah, could be a superhero.
Gold and Fab, we gotta get together.
I know.
Do a superhero video.
We gotta see that.
Gotta get the budget first.
Oh.
Special effects.
That's true. The super with the superpowers.
Yeah.
I mean, it could happen. Oh. Manifestation.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's gonna happen
that.
One day. I'm gonna play a superhero. I don't know who, but. I might make my own.
You have to make up your own name.
Yeah, make up my own.
Oh, Cortez. Just, no, it's too cholo. the way you say it, you're like, no. I was like, damn.
Cortez. Yeah. You have to say Cortez.
Mm-hmm. Like, have like a cool, you know, superhero.
Cool little fit, yeah.
With some Cortez. No?
Yeah.
Where did Cortez come from?
Is that your name?
Yeah, well, my last
like
name?
Like your government name?
Nah.
Nah.
No.
I just really like the shoes.
See?
I just like.
It's gotta be
like,
part of the fit.
Yeah, so, like, it's a lot of J-O's. Like, if you, like, put in J-O.
Yeah. Because
that's what I was going by at first, is J-O. And then, like, it was like, my team was like, man, you gotta add something. Cause, like, when you put up J-O, it's like, bunch of people pop up. So I was just thinking, like, of a whole bunch of names. And I was like, man, like, I wear all these Cortezes because, like, at a point in time, I probably had, like, 20 pair.
Dang.
I still got them. I just don't wear them that much. But so I was just like, man, we just going to go with Cortez.
Yeah.
And then it just stuck.
Yeah. Or OJ Cortez.
No, OJ. We'll just do J. I like to do J.
I don't want to be nothing OJ.
It has a ring.
You want to say no. Yeah.
What are some things that elevated you during this process?
Just the support of my family and friends, really. Like, because a lot of times, like, you know, you face, like, the hard times. It's like, man, you want to, like, throw in the towel and give up. But you need, like, that strong support system, like, they really help you out and, like, build you up. Like, because, like, it was plenty of times, but even with 22 and 6, like, it was, like, facing, like, setbacks and, like, trying to submit the album and it wasn't getting approved. And I was just, like, I really wanted to put it out. And so I was, like, getting frustrated. And, like, the team was just telling me, like, man, you're going to be good. Like, and I just had, like, really a lot of people in my corner supporting me. Like, everyone from my mom to my, you know, my girl, my team. Like, everybody was just supporting me. So, like, that's what really elevates me, having a strong team behind me.
It's very important, support system.
Yeah, you got to have it.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
You know how everyone's doing, I don't know if you've been seeing this, like, this trend on Twitter that's, like, start of the decade, end of the decade. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it.
So what would be, like, a visual for you, start of the decade, end of the decade?
Like, what you mean, like, what was I doing at the start of the decade?
Yeah, like, if we were to picture you
start of the decade, it would be a chubby sixth grader.
Oh
yeah, I was in sixth grade at the start of the decade, 2010. No, I was in seventh grade. Nah, so I wasn't chubby. I was bad.
Damn.
Yeah, I was bad. Playing basketball. Yeah, so I used to, like, sixth grade is when I really started to get, like, good in basketball. And, like, so I was just playing all the time. And then, like, seventh grade. So that was, like, the start of the decade, 2010. I was in seventh grade. And I was wilding. Like, it was, like, a whole new experience for me. Like, just all the different kids and, like, all the different people there. Like, so when I got to middle school, like, I just fell all the way off. Like, I had all F's, like, and I was coming from, like, you know, being in the GATE program. That's, like, the, I think it's, like, gifted and, something like that. And then I got to seventh grade. Like, I had all honors classes because I'm smart, but it was just so much going around. Like, I was just not focused. Like, I was tripping in middle school. Like, seventh grade, I was really tripping. So I had, like, a 1.0 or something, like, my first semester in seventh grade. My mom, like, she took everything away, and then I ended up getting to, like, a 4.0, but just, like, seventh grade, I was tripping, like.
In eighth grade, you got a 4.0?
Eighth grade, yeah, I had a 4.0, yeah.
You really put in work then.
Yeah, I was just, like, I just had to, like, focus up and, like, get used to it. Once I got used to, like, being around, like, because, like, middle school was fun. Like, we used to just do, like, a bunch of bad shit. Like, we was just really bad. But, like, once I got to eighth grade and it was like, all right, this is normal now. It's whatever. Like, let me really focus up. And then I was able to, you know, get back on track, and I got a 4.0. So.
Do you think it was because there was so much going around in your household around that time that kind of just made you kind of, like, look at life a little different?
Yeah, that too. Right. That played, a huge part in it. Like, because, like, around that time, like, one of my favorite uncles, he was, like, a real role model to me. Like, he ended up moving to Texas. And that kind of, took a toll on me because it was, he left me. So, like, I was just really wild in, like, seventh grade, just bad.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
It was fun, but it was bad.
Now you just see staying late low.
Yeah.
It's like, damn.
Low key.
Yeah.
So, end of the decade, how?
End of the decade.
How would you describe? What's your feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm really excited about 2020. Like, that's just, like, all I've been preaching lately. Like, 2020 is a year.
Right.
Like, just really speaking it into existence, because 2019 was great for me. Like, it was just, like, the beginning. Everything started to finally go the way that I wanted it. And now, like, now we got it figured out. So it's like 2020 next year. Like, we should really, like, take off next year. Like, that's, it's going to be a real great year. Like, because 2019 was awesome. But since we figured everything out now, it's like we're just going to elevate it and just keep going and just keep leveling up. So 2020 is just going to be even bigger.
Yeah. What are some, maybe some pointers in the business aspect of music that you can give to artists that are maybe trying to refine their, you know, model or business?
You got to have a strong team behind you, like,
right.
And you really got to, like, do your research, because if not, like, people will try to, like, get over on you. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll act like they, like, giving you game, but, like, really it's like they could be telling you, like, stuff that's messing you up. So you really got to know, like, what you're doing. Like, mm-hmm. Watch interviews, listen to people, read. Really just know, like, what you're getting yourself into. Like, you don't want to ever, like, just be making music and then a label approach you or somebody approach you and then they throw all this stuff at you and you don't know. So, like, you just sign it and then it's, like, a bad thing, like a bad deal. Or it's, like, something that doesn't work out for you. So, like, you want to really be aware of the stuff that you sign in, the stuff that you, like, if you are getting involved with people, like, know who you're getting involved with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really just be aware of, like, what's going on. You got to be in the know, because if not, that's how people, you know, like, play tricks on you. They'll make you sign something and then you'll be in a contract for, like, the rest of your life and not getting the money you should be getting. And
right.
I really say, like, if you don't need to sign, then don't do it.
That's facts.
It's good to stay independent, because it's like right now it's easier than ever, especially with United Masters. Like that, I say, like, that's the best thing ever, because it's like it just eliminates, like, the middleman. It's just you, and then the distributed for you. They only take 10%. So, like, you make $100,000, they only taking 10, and you get 90,000. It's like you're not gonna find no deal where you get that, like, that good of a cut, like that good of a split. So really, like, just be, like, try to stay independent for as long as you can, make your money, and then, like, if you feel like a deal would take it to the next step, make it where you can approach a label and be like, here's what we got. And it's like, y'all need us more than we need you. Like, we'll be doing you a service by, you know, doing business with us.
Right. So it's like, knowing your value.
Yeah, know your value. Because like, if somebody offering you $250,000, it's like, you obviously worth like $1 million. Because it's like, they going to obviously undercut you, because they know how much you worth. So they want to lowball you so they can try to, you know, win the deal. Because it's like, they offer you $250,000, you like, oh, that's a lot of money. But like, nah. I want $1 million. So.
Yeah, that's right. And what is, you mentioned having a strong team.
Mm-hmm.
What does that team consist of? Well, at least maybe for you.
Like what they help me with?
Like, are you talking like manager, videographer, or like?
Like team. So like, it's really the Giants Records team. Mm-hmm. Like the they're like my management team.
Okay.
So they help me out with, like, with everything, like, with the decisions, like, creative direction and stuff. Like, I always talk out. I'll come up with an idea and present it to them and then see what they think. And then, because they're always going to help me do what's, like, they always want to do what's in the best interest for me. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't want to see me out here looking bad. So, like, if I come with an idea and they be like, nah, like, that's not a good look. And I'd be like, ah, yeah, y'all probably right. And it's good to just have different views and different perspectives,
right?
Because it's like, you, they represent like each like person out there. Like, it could be like a one person that relates to this person, one person that relates to this audience, like all of that. So like, I'm taking into account of like 5-6 different views. So it's like, if I'm getting all their views in, and it's not just my view, like, it's gonna reach more people, because it's more of a balance. Mm-hmm. It's more of a balance, and it's more potential to reach more people, because it's like, it's coming from so many different points of views. So like, they really just help me out with all that. Like, they help me make the best decisions, and it's like, it's good, you know. They say several minds is better than one mind. Like, so you know, one mind is great, but if you got several great minds, mm-hmm. you know, it's even better. So,
yeah. How do you take no's from your team?
Like at first, I used to get kind of mad, really? And be like, "Oh wow, like they shutting down my ideas." But mm-hmm. I had to just really sit back and just be like, "Man, they not doing it for no reason. It's not like they not trying to sabotage me. It's like
so you build the trust.
Yeah, it's like I trust them. Even if like we make a mistake, it's just like, all right, you know, we made it together as a team. It's not just like whatever. But yeah, like I just trust them. Like I know they not gonna leave me wrong. Mm-hmm. So like if they saying no. Then I would be like, oh, it's probably not the best look then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to take no sometimes.
I know.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But I think when you start to listen and seeing why the person is saying no instead of just shutting down, I think that's where you find some solutions and for certain problems. I remember when we first started, we would, including me and Mike, we would disagree, all yeah. three of us. And a lot. I don't know how we just started just to kind of seeing eye to eye. I don't know what it was, but yeah. I think it was just listening.
Yeah, I mean, it's all for the greater good, too. It's not like yeah. they saying no to be like, oh, it's a good idea, but we don't want them to do that.
Right.
Like, it's obviously a reason behind it. Like, and if they say no, then I'll just be like, oh, well, why not? Like,
yeah.
Try to see, like, what is the reason why? And then if it's a good reason, then I'm like, oh, all right, then. Like, yeah. Let's try that then.
Voting helps, too. If you're yeah. outnumbered, you're like, well, obviously, yeah, I'm not
we do a lot
right.
of voting, too. Like, yeah. we do a lot. That's like cool. So, like even anything from picking album covers to picking a single, like, stuff like that, like, we'll take a vote. Like, sometimes it'd be, like, 4-1, or sometimes it'd be, sometimes it'll be close, like, 2-2, and then, like, we'll have to ask somebody from outside, and like, oh, what man. Y'all think, and it's, yeah. like, yeah. But, like, yeah. Nah, it's a real, I'm real thankful for my team, like, they helped me out a lot.
Super dope.
That's right. Yeah. How do you, make peace with your past?
I just try to learn from it, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Try not to, you know, really dwell on it too much, because I always say, like, if I'm too focused on the past, how can I, you know, move forward? Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, look at the mistake I made, okay, learn from it, and try not to make that same mistake again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really harp on it too much, but I just try to learn from it and move on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's dope. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, is there a word or a line that, you know, maybe that you worked on while writing that it was, you know, hard to, like, rhyme to or something like that?
Oh.
Like, random.
Not one that come off the top of my head, but it'd be some lines, like, I'll say something, I'd just be stuck for, like, 20 minutes on just one line.
Yeah.
Because it's either that I don't, like, it's not that I don't know what to say, like, mm-hmm. rhyme it with. It'd be so many different rhymes, and it's just be, like, mm-hmm. trying to pick that best one. It's, yeah. like, I could say this, but is it going to connect? I could say this one, but does it flow as nice? Like, it'd be like that for me. So, it's not like I don't know what to say. It's just, like, which one would, like, fit the best? Like, mm-hmm. like, because I always try to think of, like, lines that, like, it's going to really resonate with people, and that's going to, like, stick out, and, like, people are going to, like, want to sing along or rap that line, like, extra loud, because it's, like, they really connect with that line. So when I write, that's what I, you know, keep in mind. Like, I'm mm-hmm. trying to choose the best one, because it's, like, it's so many different ways you could do it. It's just, like, trying to find that perfect one that's going to fit. Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. I know how that feels. Yeah. I used to write.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
Used to. What?
That's smooth.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you have a song about the 80s?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's.
I was going to say, yeah. you're like, is that for real? Like, are you an 80s person? Like, are you inspired by
well,
the 80s?
Well, so around that time, that's when, like, Straight Outta Compton came out. So, like, I was real, like, influenced by that movie, like.
Nice.
It's a funny story, like, so, like, Eazy-E, like, in the movie, he would wear these gloves, so, like, I even started wearing these gloves, like, out in the public, like, pulling up to places. I had a little Eazy-E gloves on and stuff. I went out and bought like me a little White Sox fitted. Like, I really thought I was Eazy-E back then. So like, because that's one of my favorite movies. So like, when I seen it, like I was just real inspired by it, and then that's how that song came out, the 80s.
Yeah, that was like. That's a cool track.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. That was a minute ago.
Wasn't that, I think it was like
14 or 15, because it was my freshman year in college.
Dang.
Yeah. So I was like 18.
I was going to ask, like, are you like into alternative 80s too? Or just like, you know?
Kind of, not really. I'm more like, I like the 90s more.
Okay.
Like, I like the 90s. I feel like that was like the best time period. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, during that, when I made that, I was just kind of paying homage to like Straight Outta Compton and like the old West Coast, like in the 80s, lowriders and stuff like that. But yeah, that's how that song came out. I was inspired by Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of remind, like on some of your older tracks, maybe it was that one. I think it might have been that one. I don't remember, but you kind of remind me of like a wholesome DJ Quick.
That's crazy. Somebody else like told me like not too long ago that I reminded them of DJ Quick, and I was really?
I could see it. I would have never thought of that, but I could see it.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's what I've been hearing.
That's
like,
cool,
though. Yeah,
that's crazy. But you're still you. You're still you. Don't trip.
Nah, I mess with DJ Quick. Rhythmalism is one of my favorite albums. Yeah. Yeah.
DJ Quick. I've seen him live, and it was a different vibe from, like, growing up, obviously. Yeah. Like, when you see the fan base he has, I felt like I was the youngest one. Like, there was a lot of older heads. Yeah. I mean, like, veteranos, too. You know what I mean? I'm just like, damn. It's a little tart up in here. Yeah. And it was sugar-free. It was, like, all the OGs. Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely have the audience, but it's always a good time with DJ Quick.
Yeah.
For sure.
I want to work with him.
The last concert you've been to?
Mine, when I was when I went to the Novo. I don't really go to like concerts, like I think the only concert I ever been to was like at ComplexCon. Like I went to one of those, but I never really like go to concerts. So like the last one I went to was like, I guess would be my show.
There you go.
Yeah,
yeah, hopefully we can see you rock the Novo. I would love to see you rock the Novo again. Yeah,
hopefully we, you know, we can do something else. I want to start doing more shows. That's something that we're going to do in 2020. We're going to get more shows. Yeah.
Let us know.
2020. Yeah. We're coming for you. Mm-hmm. We're going in.
Lord.
Yeah. I love that track, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, what can we expect from you other than, you know, more growth for the new year that's coming in?
More music. I'm going to try to get more production credits, too. Producing for other artists. I took like a little break after the album. I wasn't really producing that much, but like I started producing even more more recently. So I'm gonna try to get more production credits, more visuals out, nice. Like I said, more shows, and some more. We're gonna get like some more merch out too next year. And I want to like work with more artists too. That's another thing that I want to do. So I'm hopefully I can collaborate with some more artists in 2020 as well.
Ooh, I can see that for sure.
Thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before we get into the questions that we ask every artist that comes through, I wanted to ask you, I'm curious, what's something that you would want your children to inherit from you? Other than, like, money and...
Oh, yeah.
maybe, like, some my qualities. Looks.
No, I'm just playing.
what did he say?
I said my looks. Oh. No, I'm just playing. Probably my work ethic. Nice. I want my kids to, like, work really hard. Because, you know, my family, like, especially my grandpa and my mom, like, they really just, you know, instilled that work ethic in me. And it's like... Whatever you do, like, it's like you want to work the hardest at it. Like, you may not be the best, but, like, you're going to work harder than anybody else. Like, nice. So that's what I always, you know, pride myself on. Like, whenever somebody sees me in the studio or gets in the studio with me, they just like, you a machine. Like, it's crazy. Like, So, like, I just try to, you know, always work hard and, you know, work harder than the next man. So, that's something I would want my kids to do, great. Like, work hard. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect. Yeah. So, every artist that comes through to the Essentials, we like to ask them two specific questions.
Okay.
And the first one is called the Music Baby. Mm-hmm. So, if you can essentially throw artists into the studio and have them create a music baby,
mm-hmm.
What artists would you throw in there? As many artists as you want, dead or alive.
Okay. So Kendrick first, Jay-Z,
nice.
Pharrell,
ooh.
Andre 3000, Stevie Wonder.
Stevie!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I feel like I'm missing somebody. And probably Drake. Yeah.
Okay. That's a hit right there.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah. I don't even know if I said him, but Tupac too. Yeah.
No, you didn't say it.
Tupac. Yeah. That's crazy. In there too.
He just
It's like
he just died, like the anniversary just passed. Yeah. He just died, but the anniversary of his death just passed.
September 13th.
Damn.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's kind of almost a West Coast baby, but
yeah.
Yeah,
I got Jay-Z, Andre 3000, Stevie in there, but everybody else is
that's a West crazy Coast. Crazy hit baby.
Yeah.
Kidnap that baby. Our second question, if nobody has ever heard your music, what song would be the best way to introduce your artistry and what would the setting be?
Probably 22 and 6. A little intimate, probably like a little not a bar, but just like a little intimate, like showroom or something like that, and just play that there for them. I feel like that'd be like the best introduction.
What color of light would you want for that showroom? Red?
Yeah, that'd red. Nice.
A little red light special.
Mm-hmm.
22 and 6. Yeah. That'd be dope.
I like that.
For sure.
And where can we follow your journey on socials?
At Jayo Cortez. That's Jayo Cortez, like the shoe.
Cortez, yep. Like the shoe you heard. That's cool. Well, we want to thank you for stopping by.
Thank y'all tonight. For having me. I really appreciate it. I know.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for it, but thank y'all. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're excited to see your growth. So thank
you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And we're out. Is that what we're saying?
That's what we're saying.
All right.